how you preach to a crowd like this. Wow. How wonderful to see God's building full.
Amen.
And you come in and you have to sit on the front row. But I found out that's not a bad place to sit. Is it turned on ready? Okay. Boy, that's a great message, Brother Jerry. Two great messages last night. My cup's just about running over. Oh. And I praise the Lord for the privilege tonight, this morning. I don't even know what time it is. 10:35. The brother, you're talking about being in a message, in a meeting with the red light on the pulpit. If you ever went to you're not old enough, but if you had ever gone to a meeting where John Gilpin was in charge, when he said that you had that much time, you had that much time, that's it. Now, my old boots are rounded up like yours, but he had some that was, I believe it was John Justin's, and they were sharp as a needle on the toe. And he knew where to put that toe of that boot if he went over time. Wow. I'm glad there ain't nobody sitting behind me, because you might get to hear three more messages this morning. As long as they're good ones, that'd be all right. Turn with me this morning. We've heard a lot about God in this conference, what He does, how wonderful He is. I'm going to tell you some more about what He does. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. The one beautiful thing about having this many folks is they're not about half a dozen of them that I didn't know when I got here. Some precious folks, too. If you haven't met all of them, you ought to do so. Amen. Psalms 51, I want to talk to you this morning about forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin, that's what God does.
Amen.
God does it, brother. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to the multitude of thy, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Most writers agree that this psalm was written after David's encounter with Nathan. And he heard the words, "Thou art the man." He didn't have to explain that to David. I believe he knew exactly what he's talking about. Another has said that this is the greatest penitential psalm in the Bible. There are several others. But David, in this particular psalm, uses six words that are pictorial words. They say more than just the word says, in other words. They describe something. God's so wonderful about that because He knows how ignorant we are, how dense, hard-headed, lazy,
So it draws us pictures with words. I mean, the Bible is filled with pictures in words. Artist, the greatest artist in the world couldn't take a paint and a brush and do any better. He couldn't come close. Because our God did it. What is sin? That's the reason David is before God begging for mercy. What is sin? There are three words that he uses in this psalm to describe sin, to picture sin for you. How wicked it is against our holy God. Transgression. Well, that don't seem too bad. Transgression. According to the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgression. This word emphasizes rebellion against God. Rebellion against an almighty God. The God that saves his people from their sin. Yeah. There's nobody so powerful as he is. Psalm 107. One of my favorite psalms. Because it's a psalm that's just filled with pictures of God and his people. Psalm 107. Verse 17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Because of their transgression, their rebellion. Who was more rebellious than Israel? You and I. We're just about equal, you know. We run a close race with them. If we don't slow down, we're going to pass them up. Yep. Rebellion against God. Why? Why do men sometimes almost innocently rebel against God without even knowing what they're doing? Not realizing that they're being rebellious against God. Transgression. Isaiah 53. And verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Rebellion. Transgression.
Right.
It's a horrible thing. If there was only one transgression in the whole world, it would have been enough to put Christ on Calvary.
That's right.
That's how bad transgression is.
That's right.
Iniquity. There's another word that slipped in there. No, it didn't slip in there. God put it in there on purpose. Iniquity. What was it he said? Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Iniquity is moral evil. Moral evil. And we looked down our nose at old brother David because of how moral evil he was. What about you? Not me. No. How about your mind? What did Jesus tell you? It's a sin in your mind. Nobody knows that worse than David. Nobody knows that worse than me, probably. Your mind is a wicked thing. Because it's run by your heart.
That's right.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Oh, Father, help us.
Amen.
The 25th Psalm. Verse 11. The psalmist says, "For thy name's sake, Lord. For thy name's sake, O Lord. Pardon my iniquity, because it's great." There's not a one of us here today, at least adult-wise, that could not claim that. Yeah. Man or woman, boy or girl. Young man, old man. It's the same problem. For thy name's sake. For Christ's sake. Pardon my iniquity, because it's great. And Isaiah, here's a dear old prophet that knew something about iniquity. In Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our iniquity. For our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, with his stripes we're healed. Yeah. You think about every one of those stripes on that Savior's back. Not only was he cut, he was bruised, he was beaten. Because of you.
Yeah.
And me.
Yeah.
Thank God that he did. Moral evil. Perversion. How many times have you heard somebody called an old pervert? You see one of them senators get up and run off at the mouth. And somebody said, called him an old pervert. He probably is. At least in his mind. I know he is. Isaiah 59. Verse 2. Sometimes when your prayer don't feel like it gets just right above your head and just stops, bounces back. Listen to what the old prophet said. "Behold, the Lord's head is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Nothing wrong with God's ear. But your iniquities have separated you between you and God. Your sins have hidden his face from you that he will not hear. Yeah. Your iniquities. Huh? You thought you didn't have any iniquity, huh? I got news for you. You got it.
Amen.
I'm not the only one here that has a problem.
That's right.
Amen. Transgression. Iniquity.
Yep.
How's that picture here, huh? What kind of picture is that for you? Pretty ugly, ain't it? Huh? Yeah, pretty ugly. Look in the mirror this morning and see somebody that looked like Barabbas. That murderer. That thief. He jumps up in my mirror all the time. Why? Transgression. Iniquity. Sin. Cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Done this evil in thy sight. Yeah. That's missing the mark. Yeah. Not doing what you're supposed to do. Doing what you're not supposed to do. Yeah. Missing the mark. Psalm 32. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Amen.
Are you glad that word blessed is in there? Ain't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Blessed is the man whom the Lord computes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my ruin all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. He didn't confess it to the whole congregation of Israel. That didn't matter. The problem was against God. You get it right with God, it'll be okay with everybody else. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, how marvelous is my Savior's love for me. Psalms 103. And verse 10. Let's put you on shout ground. He had not dealt with us after our sins. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquity.
Amen.
Praise God this morning that He's great enough to do that.
Amen.
Those gods that they were worshiping in Egypt couldn't do that. Those that they had in Rome couldn't do that, and they still can't. Mine can.
Amen.
Mine can. And does every day. Probably every minute of every day. I mean, he's so busy forgiving me. I don't know how it's time for you. But because he's God, he can. The God this brother was telling us about last night. The God Brother Randy talked about saving us. God that Brother Jerry exalted just a few minutes ago. Let's run over to Romans right quick. And look at the New Testament. Romans chapter 14. This gives you a little bit, a pretty good description of your sin and your offense. You're missing the mark. When he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That little word for, sometimes it means because. Because. Because whatsoever you don't do in faith is sin. The plowing of the wicked, the Bible says, is sin. Yeah? Just think about that. That old farmer out there behind that mule, day after day after day, in that hot sunshine, I've got some great grandparents that knew something about that. Some grandparents and my daddy knew something about that. It's hot out there. But just the plowing of that old ground, walking behind that old mule day after day. If he don't know the Lord, and if he ain't looking for help from God to get an increase, it's sin. Just as much as David. The plowing of the wicked is sin. Titus. Titus. I've often called young preacher, Paul Wright, the young preacher, but that ain't necessary, so I don't know how old that brother was. Silly. Preachers say some of the silliest things. Most of it's while they're trying to find a scripture in the Bible that they forgot to mark. Titus 1. Unto the pure all things are pure. But unto them who are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Mr. Mark. What is sin? Transgression. Iniquity. It's just sin. As Brother Jerry would say, it's just the way it is. Just the way it is. It's sin. It's wicked. It's against God Almighty.
Amen.
But let's think about the forgiveness that David was seeking after. Forgiveness. Didn't he say something about forgiveness in that 53rd, 51st Psalm? Yeah. That's what he's begging for. for God to forgive him. What is forgiveness? David knew something about what it was in Psalms 130. In verse 1 he says, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand?
Amen.
But, oh yeah, but,
amen,
there is forgiveness with thee.
Amen.
That thou mayest be feared. You know, if we feared him a little bit more, there probably wouldn't be quite so much to forgive. Yeah. Yeah. Forgiveness. What a wonderful thing.
Amen.
These three word pictures in the Psalms that we're going to look at are a very good way to show us how God deals with his people. How the Savior, that's who God is. God is our Savior.
Yeah.
How he deals with us. All three involve mercy and loving kindness.
Yes.
You know, we don't know enough about mercy and loving kindness. Psalms 103. Psalms 103. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Huh? He hasn't.
Right.
No. You know why? Huh? You ought to if you heard Brother Randy last night. Because of Christ Jesus. He's the only reason. Ain't nothing in you.
No.
Just Jesus. Jesus Christ is the reason that there's forgiveness. Now how does he deal with forgiveness here in this passage of Scripture of the Psalms, in Psalms 51. First verse, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." Brother, he's begging God everything, all that he knows about God and his goodness. Yeah. Your loving kindness, your tender mercies, blot out my transgression. I love that word, blot out. You say, that's two words, preacher. It is in English, but in Hebrew it ain't. It's one word. Blot out. Just run it together. Make one word. Or if you want one word, erase.
Yeah.
Erase. Most of y'all not old enough to remember. When, back in school, when we had blackboards. They don't use them no more, I don't think. One-room schoolhouses are a thing of the past. But they had a giant blackboard across the whole wall. And when the day was over, it was full. Most days, it's full. And it was put there for your benefit, to learn something. But we was too lazy. And we're the same way about this book. And you know it. We're lazy. God got the laziest people I ever saw.
Yeah.
blot out. The reason I brought up the backboard, because at the end of the day, somebody got elected. Somebody got volunteered.
Yeah, you were good.
Yeah. If you were tall enough to reach the blackboard, most of the time I lost out just because I couldn't reach most of it. But you had to get up there and erase all that stuff that was on there. If you didn't get it copied down, that was just your tough stuff. Yeah. Erase it. And when it got through, it wasn't there anymore.
That's right. Yeah.
When God gets through erasing, it ain't there no more.
Yeah.
The devil will try to remind you of it. He will remind you of it. But you can say it ain't there no more.
Amen.
Praise God, it's been erased.
Amen.
Yeah. It's been wiped out. Now that's two words. Abolished. It's gone.
Right.
Forever it's gone.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Amen.
It's gone. Because you don't know what a sorry rascal I've been. But he does. And he forgot about it. It's erased. It's gone. It's abolished. Yeah. It's abolished like I wish abortion was abolished.
Amen.
Now that ain't political, brother. No, that ain't political. They made a political basketball out of it, but it ain't no political argument. It's a God argument.
Right.
Yeah. Blot it out. In Psalm 69. In verse 28. Yeah. Well, let's back up. Verse 27. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous.
Amen.
You know what? If the prayer was answered, they ain't there.
That's right.
I mean, they ain't a smidgen of them left there. They're gone.
Amen.
They're erased. Yeah. Isaiah 44. Verse 22. Now get happy. I have blotted out as a thick cloud some of thy transgressions. All of them. Praise God, all of them.
Amen.
Thy transgression, and as a cloud thy sins, return unto me, because I have redeemed thee. I think I got about 5 more minutes, brother. Don't know. Huh?
You preach, brother, but I think about them.
We'll hurry up. I'll try to hurry. I didn't know I was going to take this long. Didn't intend to. Apologize if it's necessary. Verse 2. Wash me. Wash me. Thoroughly, he said. He wanted God to do a good job. Can you blame him? I don't blame him. I want him to do a good job on me too. Ain't nobody but God could do it.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. Thoroughly. And that word comes in the Hebrew from another word they use, scholars out there. Y'all know this probably already, but I didn't until I looked it up in the Strong. And it comes from a word that means to scrub.
Yeah.
And it draws a picture of a woman in those days doing the washing. Now, all the ladies don't do it anymore. They have help from the kids and they ought to, and the husband sometimes. But the picture was a woman at the riverside on a rocky shore with those wet clothes and the soap on, and taking their feet and scrubbing them against the rock. Wash me thoroughly. Oh, my Father, wash me thoroughly.
Yes.
Revelation 1:5 said that He has washed us. Washed. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins. Not with soap and water. I mean, Tide won't do it, folks. The blood. His blood. He washed us from our sins in His own blood. Wash me. And in verse 2 He says, cleanse me. Cleanse me from my sin. This is the Hebrew word here that's wonderful. And it's the same word that Aaron would use when that old leper come and he was cleansed. He had been cured of leprosy. And Aaron would make a sacrifice and offer atonement for him and declare him cleansed. He's clean, brother.
Amen.
He ain't got leprosy no more. And I'm telling you, when God forgives you sin, because we got to go, we got to hurry. It's the same word that you find over in Luke chapter 5. When that old brother come and fell at Jesus' feet. And he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Oh. And Jesus, being the Savior that He is, reached His beautiful hand and touched that old brother. Would nobody else do that? Nobody touched him. If he was married, his wife wouldn't touch him. His children wouldn't touch him. He's a filthy looking booger. If you never read about leprosy, you ought to read about it sometime. You appreciate that verse a whole lot more. I think Gill, in one of his commentaries, gives a tremendous description of that leper that came to Jesus. I got to move. Jesus said, I will be thou clean.
Amen.
Oh, mercy. Cleanse me from my iniquity.
Amen.
Cleanse me from my sin. But I want you to notice one thing and we'll close. I got to go. Did you notice in that whole prayer, you read the whole psalm, never one time did he say it wasn't my fault. You could tell right away he wasn't no teenager from this society. Not my fault. My mama didn't teach me no better. My daddy didn't teach me that it was wrong to drink and drive. We had a kid down in Fort Worth, Texas.
got drunk, killed four people. Yeah. The judge gave him adjudicated sentence, you know, let him off with just on parole or something like that. God Almighty.
Amen.
See, that kid, he didn't get absolved. He didn't get, say, you're not guilty. He's guilty. I'm not. Brother David O'Neill says a song that thrills my soul. And it's in my Father's eyes. You ought to get him to sing it for you sometime. It's wonderful. I'll tell you something about how you look in God's eyes.
Amen.
God bless you. I love you.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.